I've said a number of times I don't think we ought to license a man to preach until he knows how to fish. God gave me a message one time while I was fishing. I don't fish all that much, but I like to. But on qualifications for a good fisherman. Now, in the first place, it'd be a rich message for a night like this, but I've already got another one that's just sizzling. But to catch fish, first of all, you have to go where they are. That's the reason we're going to move out of this jungle and get out on the highway. Where they're running like that, thousands of people. Took me a number of years in Wichita Falls to get a church moved from across the tracks and across a little creek. I was on the radio and folks would say, I tried to find your church, I hear you all the time. We spent an hour and never found it. When we got to that creek down there, we gave up. And I told the church one day we would be out where the fish were running and be no problem for them to locate our church. I kept that promise, made that word good. If you don't believe it, you drive down to Sac Center Mall right by the university, Midwestern State, and you'll see a big, beautiful colonial type church sitting out there. And that's where thousands and thousands sit every day. And the church started growing. Hallelujah. But you got to go where they are. And if a man likes to fish, he'll wade slush, mud, cold weather. He'll walk, he'll crawl, he'll do anything to get to where those fish are if he's a real fisherman. If he isn't willing to do that, he ought to stay home with mama. But now, this is Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, Thursday night. You know, this has been the shortest week so far, I believe, of my life. I guess because I'm enjoying this so much, being with your pastor and his good family, his precious wife and the children. We've known them so long. We've had so many good times together. And to see what God is doing here, I'm enjoying it so much, to see people seeking God. Now, if you weren't, I was in a church one time and I had it filled, but the pastor was right square in the way. You couldn't do anything for him because he didn't know how to do anything. And I just went to the phone and called my wife and I said, just call me and tell me to come home. I left him. I went home. I got a call. She told me to come home. And I told the church, I said, my wife called me and told me to come home this last night. About 500 people there. Wasn't long that young man was out of church selling insurance. I don't know where he is now, but I don't waste my time on things that are not. I really mean that. But God's doing things every night in this church. When I came in here tonight, I said when I left my motorhome out there, I said, if they're here tonight, I'll know they're I'll know they've got the goods. And when I came in and saw you folks gathering in through the rain, I thought, well, used to we did, you know, we did. It didn't matter about the weather. That's what I'm going to preach tonight. This message tonight will be a challenge, but who can tell me what I've announced we'll be speaking on Friday night? The Armageddon. Well, I'm glad you were listening last night. So we have Thursday night, and we'll soon be at the end of this glorious week. So tomorrow night, let's make it a big night. It's the last Thursday night of this week, and I want you in the service here. Don't forget it. I've been here now for several days, mixing with the people. You're a friendly people, and that's the reason your church is growing. One reason, not the whole reason, but you're friendly. When you go to churches and walk in and walk out, nobody ever says anything to you. And I've seen that happen, friend, and I've been in many, so many unfriendly churches. Pastor preach, make his disappearance off the platform and go out. I'm always suspicious of a preacher that's in a hurry to get out of his church. I think there's something wrong somewhere. I pity a shepherd that doesn't enjoy being with his sheep. I said to my son-in-law down in Florida, at Orlando, there at Calvary, run about 5,000 people a Sunday. When he became pastor of that church, I go down and preach for them occasionally. They just dedicated a $23 million, 11-story high. You can hardly see the ceiling. With 1,000 recessed lights up there or more. Beautiful escalator, seats 6,000 people. But I said, Alex, my son-in-law, I said, you get out in that foyer and shake hands with as many people as you can. People might want to whisper a little something in your ear before they leave the church. So each time I preached for him, he said, let's go, Dad, and away we hit for the forest because I deliver the message. And thousands of those people, I can't tell you how many times they clap me down when I go down there and preach. They just love the old-fashioned gospel. And my son-in-law is a different style. He more or less, he says good things. He's a good boy. But he hadn't learned to get loose yet. I shook him up pretty good. He said, Dad, I just need to sit down with you and talk to you all day. You don't know what you do for me. I said, I tell you a lot of things and give you a lot of material. You've never used any of it. I told him that at Christmas. But to see the way the people come to church there, friendly people, it is marvelous. You get among thousands of people and see such friendliness. If you happen to go down to Orlando, Winter Park, right on I-4, they own about I don't know how many acres there. They have to cart them in on these little cars, special cars from the lots. They've got so much parking space. You walk about half a day in your car and get to the church. It's a magnificent thing. It's a magnificent church. But they're friendly people. And the friendliness, let me tell you here just before I preach. One of the marks of a good, healthy church is the lingering of the people after the service. When I go to a church and they run over one another getting out, and the pastor goes this way and 98 of them going that way, just hurrying to get out of the church, makes me think a bunch of them don't want to face somebody or something. Now you take this in. I've observed this, and I've gathered up a lot of little things for you over the past 58 years. And when you get in a church where people linger in fellowship and sing and pray, and then maybe go to some of the saints' house and have a bite to eat, and let's not forget that tonight. And, you know, fellowship. It's a good sign the church is healthy. And any time I see you scuttle out at that door, I was preaching one time, getting the church all cleaned up, set in order again. One old fella had gone out the side door. I went to the front door to make sure I caught him that Sunday morning. And you know what he did? He went out the side door. And I was preaching and talking to him about it, and he got up and said something. I said, why did you go out the side door this morning, sir, instead of coming shaking hands with me? You know there's something wrong in your life, and this is the time for you to face it. The Bible said to them that sin rebuke openly, that others may see and fear. Couldn't get around to you. Well, we had a great time. That was just a new church when we got through, but they've been playing church. But the friendliness that should exist, you folks realize, it may be in this revival, and I used to, and this man knows it, all of my ministry, I've said to the people, we can't play church one night. When trout are schooling and moving, sometimes you only get a cast or two and a shot or two at them, and they're moving on. And people are moving these days. And maybe one night is the only chance or opportunity we'll get. I had my tent up in Wichita Falls. And one night, A young man came under that tent. I didn't know it, other than he was there with a crowd. And a few weeks, I got a letter from a boy from the penitentiary in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he said, on a certain night, I was under your tent in Fort Worth. You gave a message, and you had a nice letter. But he said, I rejected God, went on my way, got with the wrong crowd, committed a crime, was apprehended, brought to justice and judgment. And I have 23 years to serve in this penitentiary. And I said to the church, perhaps if we had known there was a young man on his way to a penitentiary, possibly to devastate and ruin him for the rest of his life, maybe we would have travailed a little more. Maybe we could have been a little more sincere. Maybe we could have been a little more observing of the crowd. So when you look around, I used to have to almost fight my members in Wichita Falls when I'd start to the church door on Sunday morning, because they'd stop me, request, and I said, folks, when I'm heading for that door, we have a lot of visitors. They see me on the TV, they hear the radio every day, they come to see about it. So don't stop me with a request. Let me alone. Let me get to that door and get those strangers and shake their hands and win them to Christ. You say, that's cruel. No, it's not. It's good teaching. I can hear your request anytime. But maybe that sinner, we've got one shot at him. And I want you to know, friends, we don't play church where I preach. We never have. I've always had good churches, some small when I start, but they're not small for long, because we go to work. The last verse of the 12th chapter of Daniel is what we're going to preach from tonight. There are two little letters in a word. The last verse of the last chapter of Daniel. You can read it later if you don't want to read it now, but I'll read it for you. But go thou thy way to the NB, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. In this verse, and if you will read the verses before the entire chapter, you can see that God has been talking to Daniel about last day things. Prophecy fulfilled, end time things. And then he comes to him and says, Daniel, go your way. This is my message tonight. Go to the end, thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot. Four thoughts in this message tonight. I must submit to you tonight, friends, since the night Christ came into my heart in the summer of 1930, I have never lost that goal. When I get where there's a revival, I get out and I can't stop. I can't stand it. I have to keep going. I could be at home tonight with my feet propped up over a fireplace. I have a beautiful home and enjoy it and thank God for it. But I want to tell you, friends, if by my coming here, we win one soul, it'll be worth more than all the wealth of the whole world. Before Jesus left, now I want you to keep this word going. It's just a small word, and it's hard to keep it in practice. I hear the Lord slowing down, and I have preachers ask me in tongues, our convention, Alcorn, do you still preach like you used to? I said, man, I'm hotter than a pistol. Amen. As we go along, we ought to get hotter. We ought to get more sincere. Paul said, the time is short now. Right now. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, wait till you feel like it. He said, go. Whether you feel like it or don't feel like it, whether it's raining or sunshine and snow or sleet, our people don't like it. The business of the church is to keep on going with his message. Go! Just go! Do you hear that? Go! That's why you're here tonight. You've got that go in you. Maybe a few folks home tonight watching TV. I hope they get a crick in their neck. Amen. You know, all my life, and I've worked hard all my life in the ministry. And if there's a radio station, I'm on it. TV station, I'll get on it. Whoever I pastor, the church isn't small for long, because We've got to go out and get them. The time is short. But I can say something inside says go. You know, I remember a story a man told me. Said he was up north in the corn country, where I believe he sat. And he said his friend, they had lots of corn, shell corn in barrels. They would feed the stock. And so he said to him, he said, you know, A.C., it was A.C. Sorrell. Said, you know, A.C., we've got a big old tomcat here. Showed him that cat. Said, that's the orneriest, laziest thing you ever saw. Said, these big rats are eating us out of our house and home. They just eat barrels of corn from around here. And he said, that old cat wouldn't kill a rat. No way. Said, they looked down in one of the barrels and had about that much corn left in it, and there's about a dozen big old rats down in that barrel. And he said, I'll tell you what, let's do that lazy thing. Said, he'll either kill a rat or they'll eat him. They took that cat and put him in that barrel and slammed the lid on and set it down. He said, for all the noise you've heard in your life, all the squalling and the squealing and the clawing, it went on for some time. And they just held the lid down. And after a while, this is what some of you folks need. You don't realize what you can do till God puts you in the battle. You got a lot of going here. He said, after a while, they very carefully raised the lid and looked in. Every rat was dead, and old Tom was just standing there licking his chops. He said, the next morning, they walked out to the big barn and said, old Tom was there just looking for another rat. I went to a church a while back, the Presbyter over near where I live, passed a little rinky-dink church and had about 40 people. And he invited me over to preach for him, said, I need your help. And I went over, I said, to be sure I'll come. I didn't know that they had property bought. I didn't know that he had a few folks with so much lead in their shoes. Say, folks, we got the lead out of gasoline. You know that, don't you? Amen. But he said, this thing, I can't get him to move. He didn't tell me that to start with, but my message was a charge and a challenge. I knew God didn't want that little rinky-dink church sitting there in that place where he never would get anybody. And I began to preach, and then he told me about the 12 or the acreage they have out there right on I-20 now, beautiful location, but he had a few people with their feet in the ground pulling back. And in 4 nights, God broke every one of them, gave them a new vision, and he told me they sold the church. He moved out on the new location, put up a beautiful church, one of the round type things, and it's very beautiful. But he said, I want to tell you, if you hadn't come that 4 nights, I could never move that church. See what I mean? A lot of folks are just sitting around playing on the job, and I said, brother, get out there and build that church. I went out and held the first revival in a while back and went over there, and I never was surprised in my life. That beautiful church, seats 400 or more, was almost packed on a Sunday morning. I hadn't been there in a little while, and how I thank God for it. See, folks, this is the reason that I can't sit down. We've got to challenge folks, talk to folks that are playing religion, that have no world vision. Our business is to go. Listen to Psalm 126:4. He that goeth forth with the weepings. Weepings. I used to go into my church after we'd had a beautiful service on Sunday, and I'd see those tear puddles, marks of tears all over those altars. I said, that's the sweetest thing I ever saw. The tears on these altars, mother praying for their sons and somebody else's sons and weeping over the dying world. It's almost out of style now to weep. How many preachers do you see on television that ever weeps? Maybe Jimmy's wife. He's still humble enough to weep. Yes, sir. Jesus wept when he looked over the city of Jerusalem. He wept. And if a church settles down and cannot weep, over a dying city, that church is backslid. And you need to get back to God. He that goeth forth with weepings, bearing a precious seed basket, and isn't it precious? The sweetest seed you'll ever sow is right here. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing a precious seed basket. Sowing, that's what we're doing here. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You hear that? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When Jesus said, I'm going to send you forth as sheep among wolves. That's where we're going, right out in an ugly, dirty world that will chew us up as they can, but we're going to stay with it. Hallelujah! Stay in there like the old tomcat did. God may have to throw you some of you folks in the barrel to get you out of your situation. You may not realize what a scrapper you are. Amen? Really? When I lived on the farm as a little boy, we left farm when I was 13, but I'll never forget Brother Jordan. Now he's next to me. We had a large family. There's five boys, and we all had four sisters apiece. We had a large family. But anyway, George and I taught a calf to ride. He was about knee high. We could handle him pretty good, and he grew on up. Great big yearling, and we could ride him just like riding a horse. And we'd go out and ride him in the pasture, just ride around and around, and they don't get in a hurry. You know that. And when he would get tired, why, he'd... I'd say, George, let's let him rest. This little fellow's tired. We get off of him and let him go. And one day we walked up to him. I can see him right now about behind that little black jack thicket down behind our big barn. We walked up to him, and when we approached him, his legs all collapsed. This is true. He went down, rolled those eyes around, and showed me the white of those eyes. And went, we were both absolutely, we were just stunned. So the first thing you do when the calf won't go, you crank his tail. And if that doesn't work, you tighten a knot and pull it. We did that. But he just laid there. And I jumped up on him, I twisted his ears, we jumped on him, we stomped him, but he wouldn't move. And I said, George, have you got a match? You know that old song, the fire we want, for fire we plead, the fire will meet our every need? Sometimes the Holy Ghost takes on the nature of fire. I've seen him and said, oh, I'm not going to budge, you'll never get me down there doing that. But when God turns the fire on them, I watch them twist and squirm. Hell yeah, I've watched them many times, and after a while they break. They said, I've been playing religion all this time. I haven't paid tithe. I don't like the pastor much. I don't like the people much around here. I just come here. Well, I don't know why I do come here. You know. But when the Holy Ghost begins to scorch them, oh, there's no relief from it. I used to tell the people that scooted back in the church, you're just as safe any place in this church. They'll be fire all over it before I get through. Amen. Amen. So, we got those blackjack leaves and put them right up under the flank of that calf. Got down and set those leaves afire, and I blew them. I can see myself right now down there fanning those leaves, getting a blaze going. And the smoke was curling up around his belly, flank. And after a while, they started blazing. And when that blaze started and that hair started singeing, boy, he said, whoa, man, he came out to his feet and said, I'll take you, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. And he wrote him. And I can tell you a lot of stories like that, and I wondered why they happened until I got in the ministry. After I got in the ministry and pastored some churches and had some of those folks that got smart on me, you meet them Monday morning, you wonder where they were. They say, oh, you don't know. I never had such a week in my life. And they'll say the whites of their eyes, and you almost apologize to them. What do you think about this? Huh? Pretty good. It'll help you. It won't hurt you. It is a good preacher to talk to you like this. I'm not trying to make a reputation or impress anybody. I've always had more places to preach than I get to, and never asked for a revival in my life, never put an application for a church in my life, and they didn't ask for a license when they gave me a license to preach and send it to God. They just sent them to me through the mail. I said, if they were taken away from me, I didn't ask for them anyhow. But the preacher steps up here and he works and he cries and he prays and he sends a message for his people. And the certain ones who just know that they're there that day, God will move on them and maybe they'll quit praying church. And then they're not there. Monday morning you meet them down in the bank and they try to dodge you, you know. He goes, sit down, sir. We missed you Sunday. Yes. Well, damn, I'll tell you. That devilish husband of mine. I remind that woman in Oklahoma. You know, we used to have street services. We'd have street service on Saturday, make a lot of little towns, and then advertise the revivals. And they're having a testimony meeting, and this woman, little child, just kept pulling away from her. Getting out, you know. She's trying to hold him there, and finally she got so mad. She said, you little devil, I had a good testimony to you, ruined it. You hear all kinds of things out of folks when they get in the flesh. I don't look at me in that tone of voice. You haven't always been angels. And that might be your shoulder blade instead of a wing sprouting. You know? Listen, folks. God will put a goal in this church that nothing can stop. The devil can never impede your speed and your desire and your accomplishment if you'll go. Go when you feel like it, go when you don't. Oh, the hundreds of times I've gone to church, I felt like being anywhere else beside the pulpit. Tired, drained. Maybe you get a call 2 o'clock in the morning. There's been an accident. One of the members' daughter or son's killed and all these things. You've got 4 sermons to preach on Sunday. And you just get worn out. But I go on. Go on. You hear yesterday or today when that outstanding basketball player died? California. 40 years of age. People used to tell me, Alcorn, you're going to kill yourself the way you preach and work. Slow down. I said, well, that might be something. People are killing themselves on the ball field. Ball diamond. They're killing themselves in the ring fighting. I don't mind giving all I've got and myself. Hallelujah. If I can just win somebody to right. Amen. If God had put something in you, and you and all of us in this meeting, one day you'll see a big church out there with thousands in it instead of a few hundred. Go! Go! Don't stop! Don't let the devil fill you up with excuses. Go! How long are we going to go? He said, go to the end. You read that? The end of what? The end of everything. You know you have churches like this and hundreds of others? Somebody slept under an old tent, maybe in a car seat, maybe in an old truck, put up a tent, had a tent revival, and on and on and on, men who were willing to give their lives. Go to the end. I went to a church to pastor one time, and a man came up to me and he said, Pastor, Brother Alcorn, he said, I've held every office in this church, I guess, but the pastor, and they've thrown me out of every one of them. He said, what shall I do? I said, just stay, let's throw you out the door. Go to the end of your money. Go to the end of your strength. Go to the end. Now, if you don't go to church when somebody hurts your feelings, I wonder if you know that I've had my feelings hurt one time. I've been criticized at least a couple of times since I've been preaching. You think I'd stop? I just consider all that so much hot air from some head that's not working right. I've got a job to do. When our Marines land, they've got a job to do. And we've got a job to do, and we've got to do it. It's soul winning. I love that song you sang tonight about that arm. Oh, brother. We're not a bunch of play children. This is a battle. And when Jesus said, pray the Lord would send forth the laborers. Laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. I thought about that American boy in World War I over in Germany. They went over the trench, they were facing the German boys, and one of them went out of the trench over into the German's area, and he looted his gun, and then he changed ends with it and beat two big Germans down with the butt of his gun. Just reached and grabbed them by the collar and drug them right back over into the American trench. Somebody said, where'd you get them? Where'd you get them? He said, my God, there's plenty of them over there if you got the nerve to go after them. And brother, they're out there. If we can find folks with their little padded soil, the trenches, and go get them. Glory. Take it easy. No. We're going to fight this battle to the end. My wife and I made a practice all our lives, putting the church first and God first. We know what it is. Year after year without a savings account or a dollar to start one. We didn't start out to secure ourselves in those days. We started out to see how many souls we could keep out of hell. Get ready for heaven. It's still that way with me. Still that way. Calvin, the 6 years we were on the new location, Evangel Temple, I gave back to that church over $250,000. It was my money. Yes, sir. I went on radio, television, and what have you, spent money like it should be spent. The saving of souls for Christ's sake. Go to the end of your strength. You still got a lot of it. You young folks here, so many of you. Oh, what a wonderful age. I'm going to say I wish I had your strength. I've got so much now I'm about to blow up. Glory! And if we can find enough young fellas to stay with us, we're going to get this job done.
Amen.
Go to the end. That's the way you get it done. End of everything. If you've got enough wisdom and knowledge and sense to teach, offer yourself. Whatever. Share what you have. Go to the end. Don't stop and say, I got my feelings hurt. And that's the second time that's happened to me, and I'm just not going there anymore. Preacher, has everything been going all right around here? It's just the way I'd preach to you if I passed. Will you pass? Wouldn't be one bit of difference. Listen, folks. If you're one to go around looking for something, you'll find it. That's right. I was reading in Job the other day a sermon I'm going to bring you, and you'll never hear another one like it in your life unless you hear me preach it. Pharaoh's horses. And I was reading that the other day where they smelled the battle. I thought as I read that, I remember sat around the church and smelled the mouse. Everybody say that. I don't know. I just can't smell now. I'll tell you, you'll get what you can for when you come to God's house. We're not all perfect folks, but we're so near. That's two more sermons. Go to the end. You haven't done that yet. And thirdly, you'll rest. Now, Pastor, I want you to hear this. This man has a lot of God-given wisdom. I want you folks to know that. And you can follow him to the jumping-off place. If he jumps off, don't follow him anymore. But he will leave you. But he's a very serious-minded person. He's very serious in his heart. He has a good sense of humor. A man that doesn't have a sense of humor doesn't have any sense. It'll get you out of a lot of trouble. A little sense of humor. Just to laugh at things. Laugh at them. Do you good just to haul off and laugh. It'll help you. Amen. I told you about the old lady that testified. She was an optimist and got up and testified. She had only two teeth in her head. She said, I thank God they're together. So you know, you've got a lot to thank God for yet. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Rest. Rest. I've gone to those hospitals, so can you imagine 21 years? Daily radio and all the thousands of people that listen, and they're all of their relatives, American folks and their relatives. Constant calling all the time. Well, we listen to your radio, your mother's favorite radio preacher, and we want you to preach your funeral, go to the hospital, visit that, on and on and on and on. But one day, we'll rest. One day, we will have preached our last sermon, Pastor. Prayed our last prayer. Given our last sacrificial offerings. And yea, saith the Spirit, in Revelation, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors. You just tell them, blessed be they that die in the Lord. You'll rest forever. Forever. We're praying our last prayers right now. We're preaching our last sermons, giving our last offerings, whatever you do, folks. Do it with your might. We'll rest after a while. And finally, I like what I found in that verse one day, and so I built this message on it. The last verse, the last word of that verse is that you would stand in your lot. Well, Robert's not getting my reward, and I'll not get his. Billy Graham won't get my reward, and I'll not get his. And on and on and on. You're going to stand in your own life in that day. What you were in your church, what you were on your little short. Here's a man, he owned so many cattle and he belonged to 31 clubs and all of these things. That's about the most they can say for him. Never said anything about he was a soul winner, regular attendant in the church. The most they can say is, I thought of the black fellow was preaching the funeral. And he didn't know one good thing to say about old John. He was preaching his funeral. He said, there's one thing I want to say for John. He was a good whistler. Good whistler. And I've often thought about that, friend. You fellows listen to me. You men, you listen to me, folks. No person's ever run fast enough to outrun his past. And one of these days, you're going to turn around and look back and see what a fool you've made of yourself if you haven't lived for God. Somebody said youth is a blunder, middle age a struggle, and old age a regret. But it doesn't have to be that way. Youth can be beautiful. Middle age can be beautiful. And old age should be the most beautiful time of the year when all the color, all the beauty comes.
comes out then of the life you have lived. Learn that you have a creator, one who made you, knows your frame, your mother, knows more about you than you'd ever know about yourself. And here's what he told you. It isn't in man to direct his steps. You can't do it. Life gets too big. It gets too tough. That's the reason a youth commits suicide every 90 minutes in America. When I preach on the Armageddon, I'm going to give every youth and every young person a hope they haven't had. All we're feeding our youth today is something to destroy them. I'm going to give you something that'll start you living again Friday night when I preach that message. So we're going to stand in our lot. You be faithful where you are, Pastor. Do your best where you are, in the class, on a board, wherever you're serving God in whatever capacity. Do it with your might and with all your heart, and you'll get your reward after a while. Bow your heads. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. You have been so real all during this service. From the very outset, we have sensed a divine presence here tonight, a divine joy and awesomeness of the presence of God. And this Wednesday night, the people have come through the rain. We thank you for it. But people went through the rain to the dance and to the show and to the ball games tonight. So we don't deserve a pat on the back, Father. Jesus, you went to Calvary. More than a walk through the rain, indeed. So tonight, we thank you for the privilege of being here and for those who have come. We ask you to make this message real to them, challenging to them. In Jesus' name, every head bowed now, every eye closed. I'm going to ask if there is one backslider or one sinner who's never known God in this congregation tonight, just to put up a hand and put it down, and I'll pray for you. There'll be no arm twisting here. Amen. All right, now look at me. Here's what we're going to do. Last night, I did what I felt the Holy Spirit urged me to do. When I turned it over to you, I let you make your own call. And it was a marvelous service, wasn't it? How people responded to God. I didn't do the talking. God did it. And people came. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. This is serious, friend. So serious. So serious. I don't know your spiritual standing with God. I don't know all you people. I know you're a wonderful people. I know that. And if I lived 50 miles of this church, this would be my home church. I can tell you that. It's rich around here. The presence of God is so real. You can get help in this service. You can get help. You're down, we'll get you up. You're stuck in the mud, we'll get you unstuck if you'll just stay with us. If you're hurt, you'll get healed. Scoot this altar back, turn against that. Just put this one back, too. Right over against that. Hurry, get out of there, you get your leg broke. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want to form two lines here. And for those of you, say, Brother Alcorn, I don't have that kind of vision. And I don't have the joy on the road and in the battle that I ought to have. There is a void in my life. There's a vacancy. Something that I've been wrestling with that you know nothing about. Nobody but God, probably. You find it difficult to make a total 100% commitment or to come all the way with God. I can tell you, folks, a half religion is worse than no religion at all. It'll destroy you. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. See, if a man's cold and you tell him he's cold, he knows it. He's uncomfortable. But when you're just lukewarm, you're just kind of comfortable. That's the most dangerous state to be in. You tell a man he's cold, he knows that you can help him. But when you're lukewarm, God said, I want you either cold or hot. If you're listening, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I didn't say that, dear friend. God said it. He wants you red hot. He wants your entire life on an altar. He wants your everything in his hands. He's a master and Lord and Almighty God. Christ is not a supplement. He isn't something or someone that we put with what we have to make life complete. He's all and in you all and all I need. You're complete in him. This is what I'm talking about.
How great.
Now stand up and I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want about 20 or 25 of you Christians, about 30 of you. I want to form two lines here, and as you come through it, maybe you'll hear it. I don't care what, maybe you need to be loose in the spirit. Maybe you need liberty, you're bound in the spirit, you're a good person, belong to this church, but you've never been able just to let God really use you. I want you to walk down and come down this line, we'll come this way. Come on, give me about 20 Christians here. Come right here and make two lines. You're going to help us tonight. Now then, I want somebody to face this direction. Okay, about five over here on this side. Make another line over there. We're going to have two lines. No, that's okay. Just come this way and then go around the other way. That's right. Amen. Now, how many of you people back there tonight that I feel I'd like to lay hands on somebody? I'd like to help them. You come down this way and come through here, and these people,
don't be in too much hurry.
These people are going to lay hands on you. We're going to all pray that as you move along through these lines, somebody's going to strike heaven for you, touch heaven for you tonight. Amen.
All things are possible. Only believe, will only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
Just take your time, the Holy Spirit's working here. After the touch, you just move right on through the line now with your hands up.
Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe.
You need another filling. If you need a refilling, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. They're coming. Come on. Come on, children. You children, come through here. It'll help you. Come on, Dad. Hallelujah. You'll be helped if you'll come. Keep on moving.
Lord, I believe.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
oh, everybody with your hands up. Everybody with their hands up. We're going to have some healing here tonight. We're going to have a manifestation of God here tonight.
All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord. I believe, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe,
Lord. I do believe.
All things are possible.
Glory.
Lord, I
you
believe.
Better obey the Lord tonight.
Oh, we Lord,
better obey Him.
I believe.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I believe.
Hallelujah.
Things are possible, Lord, I believe.
Hang it on.
Will, Lord, we receive. Lord, we receive. All things are possible. possible. Lord, we receive.
Yes, they're coming.
Oh, Lord,
this will be the greatest step you've ever taken. Make your total commitment.
Lord, we receive.
These folks will help you.
All things are possible. Lord, we
hallelujah. Yield to God now. Yield to Him.
Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe.
Thank you, Father. Glory, glory.